Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Bearcat Coaches Show, yet another Coaches Show live from Carson Sports Grill, 310 North Main in downtown Maryville. We're glad you're all here, and we're glad our listening audience are joining us as well on KXCV 90.5 FM, the flagship of the Bearcat Radio Network. Another great show for you tonight. We're going to get right into it. We're going to have a wrap-up of the 2012-2013 Bearcat basketball season. We'll be talking with women's coaching staff as well as the men's coaching staff. We'll also have Northwest golf coach Pat McLaughlin here tonight, and we've got our student athlete of the week. In fact, we've got a couple of them tonight. We've got a golfer, and we've got a women's basketball player as well. We'll tell you more about that a little later on the show. Also, you should have Q&A cards on your table. If you have questions for any of the coaches tonight, we'd be glad to if you just fill those out, give them to your server, they'll get them to us, and we'll get those questions asked for you to our coaches here this evening. Also, we would like for you to join me in giving Carson Sports Grill a nice round of applause. Carson's not only hosts the show each and every week, we started all the way back in late August during the football season, and now we've come full circle, and we're just three shows away, counting tonight, of ending the spring season here as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We also would like to thank Jim and Amy at the student body. They are good enough to give us some free giveaways that we give out during each and every Bearcat Coaches Show as well. When we return, we'll have... We'll get right into it with the coaches. We'll do that as the Bearcat Coaches Show continues live at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. You're listening to KXCV, the flagship of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information available at 816-806-7777.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you by Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work and driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, family-owned since 1951, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph, 800-292-6546.
Bearcat Radio Network broadcasts are supported by the Compass Dental Group, Dr. Bruce Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler at 231 East Summit Drive in Maryville. More information available at compassdentalgroup.com.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you in part by the Northwest Alumni Association. Contributions to the Alumni Association support the Northwest Foundation and its educational opportunities for students. For more information, call 562-1248.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and we have a couple special guests with us for the program of this evening. Graduate assistant Gentry Dietz is filling in for Mark Kellogg, the head coach of the Northwest women's basketball team, and also point guard Monique Stevens is with us, and we'll talk to Monique here in just a little bit. But first of all, Gentry, it's good to have you with us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
And Gentry, let's talk. We've got a lot of things that we'll go over here, but first of all, let's just talk about the past week for this Northwest women's basketball team. Good week of basketball, I think, overall. We're starting off with a trip down to Joplin last week. Went over Missouri Southern 77-72, a game in which you had a 17-point lead in the second half, able to hold on for the win. And just talk a little bit about that game and some of the keys to the win for Northwest in that one.
Yeah, anytime you go down to Southern, it's always a hard place to play. We always struggle there. There's been a couple games in years we've gone down there and should have won and lost it at the end. And that 17-point lead, I was waiting for it. I knew Southern was going to make a run, and Erin Rice has been playing hot lately, and she came on at the end. And it's just a testament to our team. They were able to hold it and grind it out and you know, it's always win or go home in that time of the season.
And one of the things, it seems like when you go up against a Missouri Southern team, you have to be aware of the physical play that Missouri Southern likes to play. It seems like they feel like each player has 5 fouls, and they wanted to give at least 4 of those, it seems like, worth each of the players. So you know you're going to get a battle physically with a Missouri Southern team.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the most physical teams, I think, in our conference, them and Washburn. So we had 2 physical teams back-to-back, and Southern, you always know it's going to be a grind-out battle, and you got to win at the free throw line.
And the first meeting back in January, it was a tough loss for the Northwest women. I think in that game, a second-half situation where we just couldn't quite get the momentum going, keep the momentum we had in the first half of that one. Now just talk a little bit about the two meetings and maybe the differences in facing Missouri Southern back in January and then last week.
I think that just, you know, showed our inexperience. I mean, we start a freshman, 3 sophomores, and a junior, and so I think every game we've gotten better, and, you know, from the beginning of the season to now, we look like a completely different team, and they're just growing and learning to play together, and I think that just showed, you know, some times in that game we strung together some of our best minutes of basketball and then some of our bad minutes of basketball, but I think we were a better team then than we were in January.
And again, coming up with a win, it's a tough situation when you go into Joplin on the road any particular time, but when you go where it's, as you say, win or go home in the MIAA tournament, a lot more pressure involved there, and you're able to go on the opponent's court and come away with a win. And they just kind of talk about the aspect of having to go on the road for that first round game and trying to take away a win on somebody else's home court.
Yeah, we were hoping, you know, that we would end up with the 8th seed, and we were trying because we knew we had to win 2, but Southern got hot there at the end and had to win 3 in a row, and they won 3, and we were hoping for the home game, but I think we had some momentum going in because we strung together those 2 wins, and we were ready to go, and we went down there, and we didn't care who we played, we just were ready to go, and so we just took it as it went.
And I would imagine you have to, when you look at the season up to this point, one of the things that you feel good about the fact is you were able to accomplish one of your goals and make it into the MIAA tournament. And obviously that was one of the goals, although you would like to add a home game in that first round, but still able to get to the tournament this year has to be an accomplishment for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge because, I mean, there's only 3 people on our entire team that made it to conference tournament from, you know, our final 4 year, you know, with Thayer and Bay and Merity. So those sophomores had never been to the tournament, so we wanted to get there and get experience, and that was our goal, just to get there, and then we'd figure out what we were going to do when we got there. But that was our goal all along, just to get to the tournament and figure it out.
Now, you were able to then head to Kansas City Municipal Auditorium for the tournament, and that's something that, as you mentioned, there are very few players on the roster that had that experience, and even the coaching staff had the experience of going to a Municipal Auditorium and playing in the conference tournament. You're one of those. What kind of tips were you able to pass along to the team having played at Municipal Auditorium?
I don't know if I had necessarily any tips, but I mean, I just told them, you know, it's a first-class experience. I think the MIAA tournament, from when I played, is the best tournament that you play in all year, from regionals to the Elite Eight. I mean, you get treated, you know, like big time there. You stay in the hotel with the other teams, and you get to go play in a big gym where the Big 12 women's used to play, and it's just a kind of a big-time feel. And so we just got there, and I was like, you know, the pressure was all on Washburn, so I think, you know, the girls were there and they were nervous, but I was like, just relax and have fun.
I think really the atmosphere there sometimes is better than what you get when you get into the national tournament even.
Yeah, because, I mean, you go to regionals, we went to Tahlequah, and, I mean, you know, we have maybe 20 or 30 fans there, and it's just at somebody's college, and, you know, it's just, there's not a bunch of people there, but MIAA, there's so many fans, so many people there rooting for you. The Bearcat thing, you know, we had the Alumni Association had that thing at McFadden's afterward, and, you know, the girls got a round of applause, so I think that was cool. It made the whole team feel really special.
Let's talk about the Washburn matchup. Getting into quarterfinals last Friday afternoon, 52-39 was the final score. One of the things that comes to mind, again, you got off to a good start against Washburn, a very tough team. Obviously, the coming in as the top seed in the tournament, and they're hosting this weekend's regional. But talk a little bit about the start you got off to against the Lady Blues.
The girls just came and they were ready to play, and, you know, Washburn's so big and physical, I don't think, you know, I think they thought maybe underestimated us a little bit, and they thought we were just going to lay down and be happy we made it, and the girls came out and Timber made that first 3 and got us going, and so it took them a little while to get going, but then eventually, you know, Washburn's size and their physical and their athletic, and so that kind of wore us down, and some of our shots were in and out. We couldn't buy a bucket there.
Yeah, it really looked like in the second half there were some shots that you have to wonder what you have to do. That ball was about 3/4 of the way down and kept popping out on some of the girls.
Yeah, I remember Nellie's 2 threes. They kept rolling in and out, and some of the layups, and we just couldn't I don't know. It wasn't our night.
But, again, I think defensively you did a very good job against the Washburn team that can put some points on the board. You limit them to 52 points. I think they averaged about 66 a game. And the problem was, again, Washburn, a very good defensive team, only coming up with 39 points on your side. So, again, just kind of tough to score against a Lady Blues team that shuts down a lot of squads.
Yeah, our zone defense really messes people up because we're one of the few teams in the conference besides maybe Central Oklahoma that plays zone, and so they're not used to seeing it. And from the first two times we played them, we kind of changed some things, and we were forcing them to hit that high post jumper, and so we just kind of messed them up a little way that way, and they couldn't figure it out for a while.
Well, I talked to Monique here just a little bit. Monique Stevens with us, point guard for the Northwest women's team. And Monique, you've come a long ways to play basketball here in Maryville, Missouri, coming from Australia. And just talk about, obviously, placing junior college ball in Beatrice at Southeast Community College. But talk a little bit about what attracted you to play at Northwest Missouri State.
I think it was just the community, the team chemistry that I found here was just amazing. I've never seen a team bond so well, so that really attracted me, like the girls, like I really wanted to be a part of that.
And just talk about this season for you. Again, it seemed like it's a season where the entire team was able to grow, as you say, bond together, but really seemed to buy into Coach Kellogg's system to where by the end of the year it looked like everyone was on the same page. And just kind of talk about the progress this team made.
I think we took steps, like, in the season. I think it was trusting the system that Coach Kellogg was bringing in, and towards the end of the season, like, you could tell that everyone was trusting one another. We were gelling as a team, and we just had that chemistry that we'd been playing some games together, and, you know, it showed in, like, the last four games that we won, so.
And talk about your experience in the MIAA tournament, first of all, going down and facing Missouri Southern the second time down there. And from your standpoint, what are some of the biggest differences between playing Missouri Southern back in January and then last week?
Well, Coach Kellogg and I had watched game film on them, like when the first time we played them, and we looked like a completely different team. Like, we'd taken huge strides from January to March. So, you know, we were going down there confident. You know, we were trusting our defense, you know, we were executing our plays and everything, so I think we were pretty confident going in there, and we had a proof to point. So,
and how important was the game before that, the Truman State win at home? It seemed like that might have been your best game all season long, where everything seemed to be clicking for everybody on the floor.
Yeah, that was a huge game for us. You know, they're ranked 25th in the nation, so to knock someone off like that is, it's really big, and I think that gave us that confidence boost that we're right there with all those teams, you know, the top teams in our conference and the nation, like, we're right there with them.
And as far as going to Kansas City Municipal Auditorium, what was that experience like for you?
It was different, but it was good. I mean, the goal was to get to Kansas City, and, you know, now we've been, and we know what it's like, so, you know, we'll expect bigger things next year.
One of the things in watching you play basketball this season that was a lot of fun was just the aggressive play that you had out there, and also the toughness that you had. It seemed like you took a lot of hits throughout the game, knocked to the floor, popped back up, and it was back out there and playing. Just talk about maybe the aggressiveness that you had at that point guard spot.
Well, I'm not exactly the tallest player. Only being 5'3", so I have to have an edge with me, so I find that being an aggressive defender, and I just want to be the annoying player that no one wants.
I think one of the things that Coach Kellogg may have talked about sometimes, just kind of a pest out there to the other teams and drive the other team a little crazy.
Yeah.
And as far as your offense goes, and now obviously you do a great job as far as getting assists every game, and I'm one of the leaders on the team assist-wise as well as in the conference, but you've got a pretty good outside shot there that from time to time you're really sure you can knock down a jumper and a three-pointer out there.
Yeah, at the start of the year it was a little bit slower, but I eventually found my spot on the three-point line towards the end of the season, which kind of gave me a little bit more confidence to shoot the ball, so I wasn't afraid to shoot it.
Yeah, as far as looking ahead toward next year, what are some of the goals that you have individually for you for next year?
Next year I want to work on, like, obviously my free throw percentage. You know, I got to the free throw line a lot this year, and I just feel like it was a little bit of a downfall. I could have, you know, built that up a little, so I'll definitely be going away to work on that. I think I need to be a little bit more aggressive coming off like a screen and looking to score. Towards the end of the season, people were starting to defend me as a passer, so I need to be another threat.
All right, and one thing we might talk about before we let you go here, Monique, is coming to the States and playing basketball here. Might talk a little bit about the difference in style of play from Australian basketball to what you've seen here at not only the MIAA and at Northwest, but also when you're at Beatrice. And what are some of the noticeable changes that you see in the way that you play basketball here?
College basketball is a lot more faster, like up and down. It's so much quicker. Like, I had to adjust to the speed of it. You know, back home it's a lot slower, a lot structured, whereas here I have to deal with, like, really athletic guards and, like, really big post players. So I think it's just, like, the athleticism and the speed of the game changes.
And is it a more physical game here, or is it similar in that aspect?
I think it's pretty similar to the leagues that I played in back home, but in my junior level, it's a lot more physical.
All right, Monique, again, it's been good having you with us, and it's been a lot of fun watching you play basketball this season as well.
Thank you for having me.
Gentry, let's talk a little bit more here before we let you go about the season again and great strides this team was able to make this year with such a young squad. And just kind of talk about probably the coaching staff has in watching this team progress this year.
Yeah, I mean, last year you go from a team that had 6 wins and, you know, we were picked 14th in the conference, so we didn't know what we were going to get with a new coach coming in. Coach Kellogg has a completely different philosophy and structure from Stein, and so, you know, I mean, we had to teach the girls zone, man, pressing, and so to learn his whole style of offense and then to come and finish tied for 8th in the conference, I don't think any other school in our conference went up 6 spots from where they originally picked.
Now, as far as looking at toward next year, you've got a good group of players coming back. What will be some of the things that you see for this team that you want to see them maybe make some strides in for next year?
Probably just pick up on our press more. We were able, you know, because we were a little limited with our depth, and so Coach Kellogg really likes to play an aggressive style press and pick a lot of passes and get easy layups, and so I think we're going to start pressing more next year and being a little more offensive minded scoring, because, you know, some of those shots weren't falling, and we had, you know, the best field goal probably percentage in the conference, but sometimes we couldn't get it because we'd turn the ball over, so we got to work on taking care of the ball too.
And you personally, you played basketball at Northwest coming in, and was a part of a team that made it to the Final Four. You've had a chance to be a graduate assistant under Coach Steinmeier as well as now Coach Kellogg. Talk a little bit about being able to be a graduate assistant under the two coaches and some things you've been able to pick up for a future as a coach with being under both of those coaches.
Yeah, I mean, playing for Stein, I didn't know, you know, if I wanted to play basketball again, and he found me and made me love the game, and, I mean, you know, got to go to the Final Four and ended up having a great college basketball experience when I didn't know if I was going to have one, and then coaching for him, just the way he treats people and officials, you know, boosters or whatever, I just really respect him for that, and some of his offensive plays I really like, and then Coach Kellogg, like, he has a completely different philosophy. I mean, he'll teach you how to run a press, how to run a zone, how to run, you know, man defense, man offense, zone offense. I mean, he can do it all. So, I mean, I'm learning a ton from him, and he's really, you know, like, Stein would kind of sit down back sometimes and watch it, and Coach Kellogg's up there, you know, aggressive, pounding on the floor and getting into it. And so it's really fun and exciting to work with him and Stein. So I've appreciated both opportunities.
And what about your future? What are you looking at down the road here?
Right now I'm just looking for jobs. It's that time of year, so I'm applying, and we'll see. I want to stay in coaching, and, I mean, I'd love to stay in Maryville. It's been, 5 or 6 years now, and so we'll just have to see what the future holds and where the job goes.
All right. Well, Gentry, thanks a lot for being with us. And that's Gentry Dietz along with Monique Stevens. Gentry Dietz, a graduate assistant for the Northwest Missouri State women's coaching staff, and Monique Stevens, the point guard for the Bearcat women's basketball team, as we wrap up a great season for the Northwest women. Again, a season in which they were able to qualify for the MIAA postseason tournament, finish up the season at 15-13, and obviously good things are ahead for this Northwest Missouri State women's team. I appreciate you coming by for the show.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Again, Gentry Dietz and Monique Stevens with us on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back and have much more for you as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Back with more right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
From Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in northwest Missouri and southwest Iowa. 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And we're pleased to now have with us the head coach of the Northwest Golf Team, Pat McLaughlin. Let's give Pat a nice round of applause.
Thank you.
Pat's in charge of a very successful Bearcat golf team. And, Coach, let's talk a little bit before we get into the spring season. And I so much want to talk to you because golf means warmer weather is going to be here, and it came today.
I wish it had come last weekend during our tournament down at Branson. We got snowed out at our early bird tournament at Smithville, and so a bunch of coaches got together and decided since we had it marked off, we'd go ahead and try to get a tournament put together. We did with some other MIAA schools. Thought Branson might be a good place to go because the weather forecast looked good. And sure enough, on Sunday, we went down for the practice round and 57 when we got there, and it started raining. They closed the course. And the next day, it was 21 wind chill. But we played golf. The poor girls were out there freezing. Tough. My least favorite word in golf, I've learned, is blustery. Anytime they say there's blustery conditions, run the other way. But we got down, and fortunately we were ahead by a couple strokes first day. And the second day was more promising. The weather was supposed to improve. And unfortunately we had a frost delay. And after the frost delay, we got out and started playing. And really for the first outing, after a long winter of hitting into nets and using the simulator to actually get out on the course, was very good. The girls did a good job. A lot of rust, especially with the short game. Chipping and putting is just one of those things that you cannot simulate in a net or anything like that. So we know what we need to work on. We were out at Mazingo this afternoon. It was wonderful, and the nice weather did show up today. We've got some nice weather tomorrow for practice as well. But we have a real promising team, and we're off to a good start. We lost to Missouri Western by one stroke, but you know what happened there was Cassie, who was actually second in the group, had some knee surgery over the off season, and her knee flared up on her, and she couldn't finish. So she had to withdraw herself. Didn't want to, but long range for her health. And then, unfortunately, our number five girl shot 23 strokes worse than her scoring average, and it's golf. It's like any other sport. It happens. And even with all that adversity, we ended up with losing by one. So we're pretty close. We're pretty happy with what we saw this early, but we need quite a bit of work before we get to the level that we were in the fall when the season was over.
You know, before we really get into the guts of this spring season, just you know, for our listeners, for the people here, talk a little bit about the fall, just a summary of the fall, because it was pretty successful for the Bearcats as well.
Really, I'm glad you asked me that question, because it really was. It was the best our program has ever had. We are currently ranked number 10 in our region, which is our first for our program. We also reduced our stroke average down to 323. It's going to go up after this weekend, obviously, but that's by far the lowest stroke average we've ever had. We've got a couple of girls, Steph Charteris, who was this last weekend shot a 77 the second day, which is just phenomenal. The closest girl to her shot a 90, if that tells you anything. She's in the top 25 in the region. Cassie Lowell's in the top 25 in the region. They're both under 80 stroke averages. All that came with a lot of hard work on their part. And now we've got, we're pretty solid through six, seven positions. So if a girl gets hot, and can come on and help us out, and they really have. We've played a lot of different girls in different positions, and they've performed really well. We've had more 70 scores, which is our ultimate goal, is to get them all in the 70s. We've had more of those in the fall than we've ever had in the program history. So it's come a long way.
Talk about your impressions of the spring season. Talk about the girls you have on the team, and what do you expect out of each of those?
Well, the spring season, we have, by design, set up the toughest competition schedule we've ever had. In order for us to improve as a program and to be recognized in the region and nationally, we're going to have to play in tournaments where there's nationally ranked teams to move up. And so that's what we have scheduled this spring. It's hopefully a realistic schedule, but it's a very difficult schedule. We're going to be playing teams in the top 10 in the nation, top 20 in the nation, all the teams in the region that are ahead of us, 1 through 9. We're going to be playing them at least twice, even before a conference tournament. So I'm really anxious and excited to see how our girls currently stack up against some of the best in the nation, and that will give me a pretty good gauge, I think, about where we're going and the improvements in our program that we've made and what we need to work on in the summer so that next fall we can continue to keep this upward movement.
Talk about the girls on your team, and you know, here early on in the season, you talked a little bit about the events, you talked a little bit about some of the results of those events, but you know, talk about the events that you've played in so far and how those girls have done for you.
Well, the fall, it was phenomenal. I mean to tell you that they came out, and it didn't matter who our competition was. We made the decision that we're not playing against a specific school. We're not playing against anyone other than the golf course, and to play the best you can play. And quite frankly, I recall one at Ottawa where our competition was not as good as our team. And I was concerned that sometimes you play to your competition, and I was so proud of our girls. We came out and set a program record for the lowest score ever. They had that kind of concentration and focus. And when they can prove that, I have real good feelings for what it's going to be like this spring as well. They can come out and focus not just on who the competition is or who they're paired with, but focus on their game, taking it one stroke at a time, which is what we emphasize over and over, one hole at a time, and shake off the bad ones and keep moving forward.
Talk, you know, we were joking about the weather, but that is a serious disadvantage the farther north you go.
yes, it is.
How do you prepare? How do you get your team, you know, ready for these, you know, the Central Missouri Early Bird, the tournament in Branson, those, you know, duels and things that you have as well?
We are at a disadvantage. You're absolutely right. It's a circumstance. We're going to be playing down in Branson again. Henderson State's hosting a tournament at Branson Creek, and the GAC conference is going to be heavily laden in there. We don't know anything about them, don't know the coaches, don't know the players. They're new to the region, as we are, and so it'll be interesting to see those teams as well. But, you know, when you're in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, they're playing year-round outside, and you just cannot emulate that when you're in a simulator room hitting in the nets. It's impossible. The girls have actually taken their own initiative on days off to go down to Kansas City when possible, and to even find a driving range open and hit balls so they can hit real balls outside and see flight paths and things, just for that reason. But we're pretty good, I think, about making up ground in a short period of time because of their motivation. And that's what it's going to take, because we don't have that advantage. I look at the Northern Sun Conference, and they're at that same disadvantage. So when you have a region that goes all the way from Texas, you know, to Minnesota, all the teams are experiencing some kinds of issues. But, yeah, I'd like to have that weather available to us, like the Oklahoma schools that are in the top 10 in the nation, too. That wouldn't be a bad thing to have.
Talk a little bit about the makeup of your team. Are you a young team? Are you a seasoned team? Talk about your girls.
Sure. I love to talk about it. How much time do you have?
Well, we've got enough.
I love them all. They're fantastic young ladies, but we're a young team, which is also exciting. I have one senior on the team, Tess Edwards, who's been with us for the last 4 years, one of our captains, great role model. We have a couple of juniors. We have three sophomores and two freshmen. Signed two more freshmen, both of which, Hannah Sears, coming out of the Overland Park area, finished third in 6A in the state of Kansas. Kadria Bergner out of the St. Joseph area, all metro, all state, all everything. So we've got a couple of real good signees. And, the success that we had in the fall, the girls check that stuff out on the Internet and on your website. They want to be involved with an up-and-coming program, which sure helps my recruiting. And so by having a young team like we have with only one person graduating, I'm pretty excited about the future as well.
Well, talk a little bit about your upcoming events. What is next on the Bearcats plate, and what are some of the events you're going to be playing in?
Sure. Missouri Western's Invitational. It used to be more of a regional invitational. There'd be some MIAA schools. You'd probably even see some NAIA schools thrown in there. But this particular year, the regional tournament is going to be hosted at the St. Joe Country Club. So every school in the central region wanted in that tournament to have a chance to play that course before the region started. So you're going to have the very best schools, not only in the region, but in the country, playing in this tournament coming up. So this is going to be a real true test for us. Last year, we were second in that tournament behind Central Oklahoma. And I think Central Oklahoma was ninth in the nation at the time. And we beat all the competitors. It's going to be tough to do that again this year because of the schools that are coming up. After that, we then head back to Branson to the Henderson State that I mentioned, where the Great American Conference, and then they've got people like Drury, who are in the top 20, and some other schools invited that are going to also give us a good challenge. If we're going to have any kind of break at all in the schedule, it's because of we co-host a tournament with Missouri Western called the Green and Gold Shootout, where we play one day at the St. Joe Country Club and then one day at Mazingo. And these are all Division II schools, but they're not top in the nation rated schools, which will give us an opportunity to kind of get figured out before the conference, which then is back at Paradise Point this year. And with the expansion of the conference, we've got some really good women's golf teams.
You know, you talked a little earlier about, playing one stroke at a time, playing the golf course. What kind of advantage is it when it does warm up that you're able to play and practice on a course like Mazinga?
Tremendous advantage. All the way from recruiting to practice areas, to the guys out there have just been terrific to us, give us basically the run of the course. I had a big smile on my face today when we were out there at practice. I walked down to the driving range, and here's this huge sign, reserved for Northwest Missouri State University Women's Golf Team. And that's a pretty special feeling. And with such a good venue and setup, And I'd also have to mention the board of directors out to the Maryville Country Club. We're able to go out there and practice for free as well, and we couldn't afford to do that otherwise. And when we're playing a really tight course, we will actually qualify and practice at the country club as well because Mazingo is so open. So it gives us the option of two nice courses to set us up and prepare us the best we can for the competition ahead.
And that's something that not every college or university has the luxury of having.
Absolutely
not. And that's a community that is very, very supportive.
Absolutely, very supportive. Just as a side note, I, at Mazingo today, I had no less than a half a dozen people come up and congratulate us on our start to the season and coming in second, and you'll get the Griffs next time. And as a coach, that makes me feel great.
Coachless, final question. How about team goals? What have you got set up for the team? What are you wanting to accomplish this year?
We set some pretty high goals, as most coaches do. But our goal is to continue improving our stroke average. That's kind of the bar that's set. If we can continue improving our stroke average, we're going to be in a lot of tournaments. It's very tough to beat some of those southern schools, and we realize that. But if we're playing at our best potential, we're going to be close, or we're going to catch a few of them. We're going to catch them on a bad day. They're going to see us coming up on them. So winning the conference would be absolutely fantastic, but the two Oklahoma schools right now are really playing good golf. In the region, our goal that we set at the beginning of the year was that I really believed that we had the talent to go beyond the conference and to get into postseason play. We need to get in the top eight of the region in order to do that. And if we have played to our potential and have a little luck along the way and some good weather, I don't think that's unrealistic. And you know, once you get in the big show, then anything can happen.
Coach, we appreciate you taking the time. It's great that the Bearcat golf team is ranked number 10 in the region, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Well, I thank you guys, too, for having me on the show. And like I say, I could talk hours about these girls. It's a great team to have. A lot of fun. A lot of fun to coach. And I want to say hi to Brian and Aaron, who are right now in Augusta, Georgia, playing golf, darn you, and to Megan and Ashley back in Hilton Head, South Carolina. I'll be out there playing golf when the season's over.
Coach, again, thank you very much.
All right, thank you guys. We appreciate it.
That's head coach Pat McLaughlin of the Bearcat golf team. When we come back, we'll talk to one of his golfers. We'll do that when we return right after this one-minute timeout. You're in tune to the Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by National Investors and Northwest Alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National Investors with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodson's in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodson's at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill, the Bearcat Coaches Show. As we return to the show, we want to welcome on stage and in the interview booth here, Stephanie Charteris of the Bearcat golf team. Let's give Stephanie a nice round of applause. Stephanie, thanks for being here. Congratulations. You've started off hot here in the spring season. You've already got a first place. Talk a little bit about that.
Thank you. It was a little rough start, I got to say, but I finished the second day pretty well and came in with a good start.
Tell the folks the event that you were in and a little bit about that event.
The first tournament was down in, we had to move it down to Branson because Kansas City had a little snow, too much snow to play golf. But there was Missouri Western and Fort Hays that were two big rivals, that have been two big rivals in the MIAA that we came out. But it was very rainy, and the course is not in the best condition, and it was cold, so it's not the best funnest to play in, but I think we all pulled through and got done.
Talk about your score for that tournament.
Well, overall, I was happy with the score, but first day could have been better, but I think being the first tournament, it was definitely a good start.
Okay. Now, I think a lot of people wonder, you know, golf is such a, it's not only a physical game, but it's a mental game. That's a big side of it. Talk a little bit about how you get prepared.
I think I just try not to think too much. I think when I overthink, it does not turn out well, but I just focus on what I want to do and how well I want to shoot that day.
Now, golf is an individual sport, but yet it's a team sport as well at Northwest. How do you marry the two together? Is that ever a problem?
I think when you're out there, you just try and focus on yourself and like playing the best you can play. But it definitely helps when you know that you have teammates there that are going to play well as well.
Now, we talked a little bit about, mentioned the mental side of the game. How tough is it mentally?
It's very tough, especially at the beginning of the season when you know you're not as prepared as you could be. And then once you get out there and you know you're not playing well, you start off bad, it gets hard. It's hard to get back into it and keep yourself focused throughout the whole, especially when it takes 5 hours to play around.
But I suppose that goes back to what Coach McLaughlin said. It's one stroke at a time. That helps, right?
Yes, for sure. You just got to think about what you're doing at the time and not think about what you've done.
Now, you talked a little bit about your teammates. How important are they to you? And talk a little bit about them and how they contributed along with you in the team aspect.
I think our team has definitely improved a lot. Like, each person as an individual has improved their stroke average. I know everybody coming back from last year had a huge improvement in the fall, and that helped our team, obviously, our team stroke average. And I think we all respect each other and know that everybody out there is going to do the best they can to pull out a good score for the team.
Now, one thing, we talked a little bit about how you get prepared, but Coach McLaughlin mentioned the fact that you guys do a lot of extra stuff. And what maybe a lot of people don't understand is golf is just a sport. You've still got the academic side. So you've got a big day, a full day. How do you put it all together? What do you do? And how much extra do you do besides just the regular practice that Coach McLaughlin requires?
I think we all go out there by ourselves a lot of the times and do what we know that we have to do as an individual to get better. And yeah, the schoolwork and stuff, it comes when it comes, I guess. But we all do a good job of keeping up with that. And it's very stressful once season starts.
You know, talk about your day. You know, what time do you start? You know, when's practice? How long do you practice? And those types of things.
Well, now that it's getting nicer out, we can practice a little longer. I have fairly early classes, so I'm done class around 1. And then go out to practice usually around noon or around 2-ish. And get a good 2 hours of practice in, hopefully, with nice weather. And then the rest of the night's usually homework. It's devoted to homework.
Okay. We talked a little bit earlier about the team goals. What are your individual goals for this year?
Individually, I think I want to, I had a fairly good stroke average in the fall, and I want to hopefully keep that or improve on that. And I know as a team, we're fairly close to making regionals. And if that doesn't happen, I would love to make regionals individually as an individual.
Steph, we appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very much. Congratulations on a great start.
Thank you.
Folks, give it up for Stephanie Charteris of the Bearcat Golf Team. She is our number one golfer right now for the Bearcat Golf Team. We appreciate it. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
When we return, we're going to talk men's basketball with Coach McCollum. We'll do that as the Bearcat Coaches Show continues live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, right here on KXCV 90.5 FM, the flagship of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at MarryvilleGlassandLock.com. Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at MarryvilleMo.org.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. All right, Coach, you got a little bit of a cheering section here tonight.
I think I'm on. There we go. Yeah, that was Scott Nielsen giving me a great round of applause. I appreciate it. Allison Hoffman gave me a good one, too. So we had a couple over there cheering for me.
Ben, a heck of a finish for your season. I know you'd like to be playing this weekend in the NCAA Division II regionals, but let's just go back to this past week. Some excellent basketball played by your team, and it all started off with a good win in the first round against Missouri Western, 66-46 home game, but I know you would have liked to add a bye in that particular matchup to go down to Kansas City, but you ended up hosting Missouri Western, and the team really came back after a tough loss to Truman State and picked up a very good win on that Monday night.
Yeah, you know, in hindsight, just the run we made, I think it was probably better off that we were able to play on that Monday. I think it kept us in rhythm. I thought that the crowd that night was excellent. I thought it was a fun game, fun environment to be in. You know, I think the Booster Club obviously helped pay for quite a few of those student tickets, and then Center Court Cat Club did as well. So, you know, it was just a fun atmosphere. So I was glad that we were able to play that game.
And what, I imagine Alex Sullivan was, too. He couldn't get a better matchup there. Last two games with Missouri Western, 8 three-pointers in each of those games. And Alex really kind of came to life against the Griffins the last two matchups.
Well, when he saw that zone, he lit up, didn't he? And you know, it carried through when we saw zone in the conference tournament as well. Well, I guess the next three games in the conference tournament. But, yeah, he was on fire. And his grandfather had came to the previous game against Truman State, so I think he was a little bit nervous, and then I think the nerves went away against Western, and his grandfather was able to see that too, so that was fun. It was fun to be able to have him have a good game at Bearcat Arena to end his career there.
You moved into the quarterfinals of the MIAA tournament, then had a Thursday afternoon matchup with the Northeastern State. Great atmosphere, really, the last couple, 3 weeks of the season for the home games as well as down at Municipal Auditorium. Just a great atmosphere, and we'll talk more about that with the fans. But a good win against Northeastern State, 69-65 win in the matchup. Had to beat Northeastern State twice in both pretty close matchups. And just talk about the game down in Kansas City. What were some of the keys to that one for you?
Well, Dylan Starzl was a big key in that game. I think he had 25 points. Our objective through the whole tournament was to pound it inside, slow the game down, keep it in the half court, and then really defend people. I thought that game we did that. I think we got a 12-14-point lead at one point. We're in control. Had a little trouble scoring for a stretch, but then regained the control to finish it out. That was an excellent game against an excellent team. And the second time we beat them, now they're in the regional. So that was a fun win. And anytime you win that first game down in Kansas City, you get to stay overnight in the Marriott. And our Northwest fans on weekend games really attend. And it's just such a fun environment for our kids and for myself to coach in.
And again, it seems like for Northwest, you've had some success down there through the years going to the tournament. And once you get that first win going, it seems like, as you say, things really built into a great weekend for Northwest.
Oh, yeah, it's such a fun. It's just a great time, the Kansas City tournament. We have such a great following of Northwest people down in Kansas City, and when you make it, you know, first, second, third, fourth round championship, then you know, you're going to get some serious fans, and they all meet beforehand and then meet after and really cheer our kids on, and You know, it just makes for an all-around good weekend.
And a win over Fort Hays State in the semifinal, 73-66, the final in that game. And, again, the crowd really, I thought, made a difference in that one. But the team played well against a team that you lost to twice, but very close games, first two matchups. What was the difference in the third game this year?
Dylan. We had Dylan for the game. That's a big key. And then, you know, I thought the other games, we actually, on the road, we outplayed them. I think down the stretch, they were able to beat us on the road. And then at home, they outplayed us. We weren't fully healthy. I think Dylan had come back that game, but really wasn't to full strength. That was probably one of the better games that I've been a part of, just effort-wise, toughness-wise, mentality-wise. I mean, we were great. We competed. They were going at us. We were going at them. It was just such a fun game to watch, and our kids showed a lot of toughness, a lot of heart. Be able to come out of it with a win.
Yeah, I think if you're a college basketball fan, it doesn't get any better in that game.
Well, they went scoreless for 12 and a half minutes. Well, I'm sorry. They went without a field goal for 12 and a half minutes to the last 10 seconds of the game. That's pretty good defense. And, you know, that's probably not very exciting for some people to watch, but for me to watch, it was a thing of beauty. I mean, they could not score a field goal for 12 and a half minutes. That's unheard of. Especially how good they are offensively. Our guys just buckled down, and I said to get three stops in a row, and, well, they took it to an extreme and got about 20 stops in a row. So I was pretty pleased with their effort.
Yeah, you had to come back from a 12-point deficit there in the second half to make that run for the win. And just a great comeback out of that.
Yeah, always great. It was great. Just a lot of toughness, a lot of heart. A lot of guys that didn't want their season to end. And you know, for D'Angelo and Alex, and you know, those guys really competed in that game.
I guess the tough thing out of the first two games down in Kansas City, came away with a couple of key injuries. Connor Crooker out of the first game with Northeastern State had that eye injury, and then of course D'Angelo Haley going down with an ankle injury late in the ball game against Fort Hays State. Lost them both late in ball games, which has to be a little frustrating as well. But to have to go into the championship game with missing two key cogs out of your roster there coming up on the Sunday matchup.
Yeah, Connor obviously was unfortunate. He got an elbow as he was falling down. He caught somebody on the elbow. Really a freak deal. Had surgery that same night. Still recovering. D'Angelo's out. And, you know, our kids never really, I don't know, they didn't even really talk about it. They were never really concerned about injuries. They didn't have excuses. They don't make explanations for things. And I think that's why they're so fun to watch, that group, because they... You know, they had Dylan go down. We had Deshaun go down. We had D'Angelo go down. We had Connor go down. We've had injuries throughout the whole season, and not one time did they come into practice and say, oh, boy, I wish we had Dylan, or, hey, I wish we had Cooper. Or, yeah, they just didn't make excuses for themselves, and that's why I think they were so entertaining to watch.
And you always had some players that really stepped up and played well in their place then.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that goes back to not making excuses. They never made excuses. They just kept fighting, kept competing, and, you know, we'll roll with what we have and see if we come out of there with a win.
Right into Sunday's game with Central Missouri, an overtime loss in the championship game, losing 79-76. A big day for Bryson Williams. He really came back big in the second half, and then overtime for him.
He had 27 points. All of a sudden, he became a shooter. You know, he had shots, and all our kids competed. You know, we were a couple layups away from winning that game. A couple missed free throws. A couple calls down the stretch. You know, it was just one of those deals that we just weren't able to come over top and get that 1-point victory that we desperately needed. But I was pleased with our effort. I was pleased with our heart and our toughness.
Yeah, I would think when you look at the way that team battled in there, you gave everything you had on the floor in that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that when people say that, you know, hey, we gave everything we got. Hey, you know, come back to the locker room with nothing. Our kids have nothing. I mean, they gave every single ounce of effort they could possibly give. And you don't see that very often. Even, you know, it's very cliche. People use that. That's probably, you know, maybe one or two times I've had teams actually do that and give everything they have. And that was one of them. You know, that was probably one of two times that I've seen that actually happen. That was a special effort from a special group, and I'm very proud of how hard they competed.
When you go into the locker room after a tough loss like that to where the season is over, what are some of the things you talk to the team about Sunday afternoon? Yeah?
There's not a lot you can say. You know, I'm sad for D'Angelo and Alex. I'm going to miss them. You know, and some of the other guys that competed. You know, I think you're upset. I think you're a little bit sick because you're right there. I think those losses, you know, they aren't quite as bad because of the great effort that they gave. You know, they did leave everything out there, and you know, they've got to be proud of themselves. They shouldn't hang their heads after something like that because there was nothing more they could do. Nothing. I mean, they played so hard. And so, you know, they're upset and hungry for next year, hopefully, and hopefully we'll get to the national tournament next year.
I guess the downside to a tough game like that where you come up just short is the fact that the finality of it all, with that being the last game of the season.
And we're ninth in the region. You know, I'd love to coach this team for another month, you know, another couple months. And this was one of the more difficult teams that I've had to coach. I think coming into the season, there wasn't a great deal of hunger with this group. They always worked hard, but the hunger just wasn't quite there to be great. I think they developed that throughout the season. I think that I know that they were the most mentally tough team that I've ever coached, just throughout games. I mean, you know, you see this guy, I mean, they got down, how many times did they get down? 15, 20 points, came back and won. You know, I mean, they'd come out and they didn't have that great hunger, that great edge, but they were mentally tough enough to know, hey, we can now turn it on and be able to come out of there with the win. So that's what I'll remember this group, is the mental toughness part of it.
Yes, unfortunately, a team that you beat twice this year, Northeastern State, gets a chance to go on and play in the regional tournament. Unfortunately, Northwest unable to go on just the way the formula works to get into the regional tournament, but just kind of unfortunately didn't get a chance to move on with an at-large bid then.
Yeah, especially when you're ninth. You know, the Hayes didn't get in. They won our conference, which is a travesty. Washburn didn't get in. They were probably right with us, though. We probably should have got in ahead of Washburn. But they don't take into account, with these regional rankings, it is 100% numbers. And our pod system actually hurt our numbers, our strength of schedule. It hurt those things. They don't use common sense. The regional committee has absolutely nothing to do with who gets in and who doesn't. All it is numbers-based. They're just punching in numbers, and that's the teams that go. And if they flip-flop somebody with certain numbers, the national committee always overturns it and puts the team with the better numbers in. So the fact that we beat, six regionally ranked opponents and Arkansas Tech beat one, I don't know how that works. Or, you know, Hayes probably beat six around there, won our conference, had a better winning percentage, and, you know, Arc Tech beats one, Northeastern State finishes 12-7. I don't know. I don't know how the numbers work themselves out, but I do know that they need to fix that system.
No doubt about that. And now as we look ahead toward next year, we've got a question from the crowd. Stephen Chappell wants to know about your top three off-season priorities as you get the team ready for next year.
Well, number one, we need to develop that hunger. Or is they talking more recruiting?
Probably. Just what do you think? Just the top three here.
I think we need to develop that edge, that hunger. And we have. We've got Deshaun back healthy. He's been playing. I think personnel-wise, we probably need a big wing shooter. That would be number two. Get that big wing and get him ready. And then, you know, number three is really just continue along the process of what we've been doing effort-wise and try to piggyback or carry that on into the next season and see if we can get ourselves. This next team has a chance, if they're hungry, to be one of the better teams to come through here as far as on paper goes. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but on paper, that's where they're at. If they're hungry, if they play with no fear and things of that nature. And so, you know, we've got to be able to handle that expectation.
Hey, it really looks like you've got a great core coming back. And with the addition of your red shirts and some recruiting here, you should be in good shape for next year.
Yeah, we've got some good red shirts sitting out. You know, Connor will be a year older, obviously, as well. and then we'll go get probably two more kids, two more either high school, maybe one transfer in there, and see what we can do. I mean, we've got probably, arguably, the best post players in the conference. One of the best guards, if not the best guard in the conference, in Deshaun. Some of the better defenders in our wings and some of the better shooters. Sky's the limit, but we have to come with a better hunger than what we did last year.
And it's one final question here before we wrap things up. I'll just talk a little bit about the atmosphere at Bearcat Arena and at Municipal Auditorium as you wrap up the year. It seemed like the fans really, in the last month or so, as you were able to get more home games, really got behind this squad and really made Bearcat Arena a fun place to go and Municipal Auditorium as well.
Yeah, you know, I thought that the marketing group, I think it's the AMA, kind of started the whole thing. They gave out, I think it was $150 to get some groups. Well, the Teaks ended up coming,